We're going to move on today, and I'm going to do this in 12 minutes. And in some churches, that is a normal length of sermon, okay, but in this church it isn't, all right? So I'll cover what I can do, but I really want to give space for God to move. I'm going to read from 1 John 2, the last couple of verses, and then we'll just the first few verses of 1 John chapter 3. And it goes like this, and it's all about our identity, okay, just our identity. When you know who you are in Jesus, your behavior then reflects that. So it's when you know who you are in God and you know him, then you're able to love more like Jesus does, and you're able to live a holy life more like Jesus did. So that's the simplicity of it. 1 John 2, verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. To these Christians, it focuses in on that Jesus is coming back. Is a central tenet of what we believe, not just our faith, but what's going to happen, that Jesus is coming back. And just as a little aside here, we can get so concerned about saving the world and making sure that it's all right and praying that everything's going to be peace. And yes, we want to be praying for the world. We want things to, you know, to be good citizens of the world. However, it's never going to be sorted out till Jesus comes back. And this is very much a Christian belief. And Jesus said, when Jesus departed to heaven, the angel there says, he's going to come back. Same way that he's leaving, he's coming back. It's absolutely vital part of our faith, the Christian hope. And you'll see hope talked about all the time in the New Testament. So now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. We want to be confident. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. So we live in the light that he's coming back. I don't know as many details as some other people seem to know about the second coming, okay? But I genuinely don't know as much as... but I feel a lot more comfortable with that than having all loads and loads of details. But I know that he's coming back, and that we should do our best to be ready for him whenever it is that he's coming back. We should live like that, that we're not living just for now, we're living for eternity, and that's important. That's about quite a lot of the extent of my theology on the second coming, okay? But I believe that is really strongly Bible based on it. In 1 John 3, it goes like, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Shall I just read that again? Can you just take that in for a minute? See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, which is quite hopeful. You know, it's quite good, isn't it? The thing, you're not going to stay the same. You are on a trajectory. If you know Jesus, if you've given your life to Jesus, and I want to get that to that in a minute, but you are on a trajectory where you're being changed from one degree of glory to the next. And it's going like that. But I'll tell you, when Jesus comes back, well, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. Do you get frustrated at yourself at times and sort of think, well, do you know, I'm not that great a person? Well, you're not. in many ways. And I'm sitting down there as I'm listening to the preacher saying that. I'm not, but actually, no, the longer I'm a Christian, I've been a Christian now for 35 years or so, the more you realize that you aren't, a great person as such, but in God, you're very, very precious. You know, so, and that's the amazing thing. We, dear friend, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. And that's really clear, isn't it? Like, if you know you're a child of God, and if you know that Jesus is coming back, and that when you see him, you're going to be like him, you're on an upward trajectory, well, you live like you're a child of God, and you live like you're on a, your life is becoming more pure and better because you're walking with Jesus. It's incredible. And I want to just go through a couple of important parts of this verse. I think I'm 7 minutes in, so this is going to be... The thing is, God can do an awful lot more, as we just... Some of this is about experiencing it, okay? Some of what I'm saying, actually quite a lot of this is about experiencing it for yourself. It's not just about having a knowledge of the truth. And so this morning, this was something... And normally, I'd be teaching a lot more about this, but I'm not. It says, see what great love, or another version say, behold. It's the same word that when Jesus calmed the storm, they were in the boat, and Jesus just said, be still. And the waves all stopped. And they said, the men were amazed, Matthew 8, 27, and asked, what kind of man is this? This is incredible. This Jesus stopping the storm is incredible. That's the same word when it says, behold, what manner of love is this? Just out of blow your mind type of love, beyond your understanding and experience kind of love. That is what it's saying here. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. In Galatians 4, verse 4, it says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Jesus didn't just come to forgive us our sins. He came so that we could become children of God, adopted into his family with full rights as children of God, just like Jesus, incredibly. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And this is why I talk about this. There's partly a... The Spirit isn't just about an emotional experience, but we do have an experience when we encounter the Holy Spirit. Because you're his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you're his child, God has made you also an heir. Means entitled to receive all of God's riches and God's blessings, just alongside Jesus, in actual fact, other scriptures say. Wouldn't you like to live in that love? The confidence of living in the love of Jesus is amazing. Our children generally aren't frightened of me in a bad way. Occasionally, as they've grown up, at times they've been frightened of the consequences of things they've done wrong. But you can see my children quite happy to, comfortable to publicly talk about me in the way the way they do. But that freedom that we have as children of God, and that's what he says, see what great love he's lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. In Romans 5, verse 5, it says, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You think about that lavish, you think about God's love being poured out into our hearts when we didn't deserve it. And that's amazing. And that is, for me, if you ask me, and I say this so often, I realize the longer I'm here, the more I say things, repeat myself. But John used to do that as well. He used to repeat himself, didn't he? So I'm putting myself in good company. Same fellowship that he's got with the Father. Well, he had with the Father, I have with the Father as well, which is lovely. That's one. Pours out, and I know that I'm a child of God. And how good is that? God wants you to know that. I just want to say, not everybody, I mean, this is one of the biggest lies, most dangerous lies that we hear in around is, everybody's a child of God, aren't they? That is not true. It is really clear that the Bible teaches not everyone is a child of God. What the people probably mean is that we're all made in the image of God. We're all human beings who've got great, great value and deserve so much respect. So everyone is made in the image of God, but not everyone is a child of God. And that's important because if you don't know that you're a child of God, today you can become a child of God. And it's important because I could be talking about this and you say, well, so what? If you don't know you're a child of God, you don't know his love, why don't you say, do you know what? I want to be your child. Let me just read this verse in John chapter 1, verse 9. The true light, that's talking about Jesus, that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, the Jews, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And that's what all of this is about, actually. Have you received him? Have you received Jesus? Have you believed in his name? And many people in here will say yes. Some of you might not have done. Some of you have done that quite recently, and actually in your lives have just sort of suddenly switched on. Isn't it amazing becoming a Christian and you receive Jesus and something switches on in your life? It is wonderful. That's what happened to me 30-odd years ago. I heard the gospel and I received it. And I said, Jesus, please, would you? I recognize I'm a sinner. I recognize I'm separated from you. I need your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, that you died in my place. Please, will you come into my life? I want you to be in charge of my life. And something switched on. And before we pray and ask God to come and just reveal stuff to you this morning and do stuff in your lives, that identity as a child of God and as knowing that you're going to be changed. When Jesus, you see Jesus, you're going to be like him. You're on a journey. And then you can read 1 John 3 and you'll see that bit. And then you'll see talking about, well, this is the lifestyle that accompanies. It's just natural. If you're made in God's image, if you're a child of God, you don't want to be sinning. You don't want the dirt. You know, you want God's character in your life. When you know that Jesus is coming back, you want to live for him. And things start to change in your life. Okay. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. That's the second verse. But I wanted this one to read this one. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. It's not an intellectual thing. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if you want to give your life to Jesus and say, Lord, I've never given my life to you. I want to give my life to you. I realize I need you. Well, you pray that prayer. And then just join in with everything else that's going on as well. But then we're just going to just welcome the Holy Spirit. And for him to confirm this word in your hearts, because I had a picture. Have you seen on TV, sometimes when things are dipped into, you've got rusty metal or something, and it's dipped into something and it gets coated in something and it comes out all shiny. But also at times you can have something that's a bit rusty and dirty and you dip it into some sort of acid or some sort of caustic thing that actually cleans it off and just takes all the rubbish off and it comes out looking like a whole brand new thing. That's what God wants to do with us on the inside. That's what he does by the Holy Spirit. He just wants to just give you time just to wait in his presence and just allow his Spirit just to cleanse you on the inside. If you've got some muck, you know, or pictures of understanding of God, you think, I'm not worthy, or it could be that, you know, relationship, I don't quite understand how to have a relationship with God. It could be anything, and God the Holy Spirit knows. But we're going to invite him and let him work this morning. And just let yourself be dipped in. It says he pours out his love. He pours it out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so, more than anything, it's God who shows us his love. But he says, what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Can you pray with me? First of all, I want to pray a prayer. If you want to say, do you know, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a child of God, but I want to become a child of God. You pray this prayer and just say, I want to become a child of God. I need your forgiveness, Jesus. Would you take me just as I am? I turn to you and I want my life to be changed. Will you come into my life and make me a child of God? And I want to serve you and live for you and live with you forever. Take my life now, Lord, I pray. Father, would you confirm that prayer in people's hearts and lives as they prayed it this morning? And over this next time, Lord, your timing, would you come and minister to everyone? And just as prayer for everyone here, just say, I want to just offer up my life, Lord. Would you fill me with your Spirit? Would you come and take all, just clean me up, Lord, today. All that stuff that's in the recesses and stuff that's not quite right, I just want you to cleanse it, Lord. And I need to know your love as well, Lord. For those that are struggling knowing your love, I pray that you'd they would know your love. Hallelujah.